A few weeks ago, Brother William Odom obeyed the gospel, was baptized into Christ. I did not mention at that particular time that Julie and William will be worshiping and working with us here at this place. So I want to make that acknowledgement this morning and have you to be sure to put in your directory William and Julie Odom. Now, they live north of Copperas Cove. We have folks driving here from many places, and they find the fellowship to be so warm and so kind, they want to be a part of us. I hope that you consider working and worshiping with us if you're looking for a congregation as well. But I want you to be sure to add William and Julie to your directory. And we will put that in the bulletin again this coming week so that you can have their phone number and, of course, their address. But we're so very glad to have William and Julie as a part of the congregation here at this place. My lesson this morning will be taken from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. I'm going to especially be emphasizing the idea of fellowship, because I think that's something that all of us need to understand the importance thereof. And we're going to be talking about that today. But before we get down into that, there's something else in the verses that I want you to take particular note of. And it is something that I've looked at for years and years. And I still marvel. I still wonder about it. I still don't understand it. And I don't believe any human being does. Because, see, we live in the realm of time. You and I are involved in the flesh. There is another dimension. Remember, Paul said that he knew a man that was caught to the third heaven. And that is the abode of the spirits, the angels, and God. You and I dwell here upon this earth. And there's things about heaven that we know very little about. There's things about God that literally get to you if you actually study it. And we'll say just a few things. That's not my lesson today, but you know how I am. I like to get off on some of those things. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. I know that there are other descriptive terms that are given concerning our Father. Say, God is love. God is a consuming fire. Okay? Jesus said, God is spirit. John 4. Here, John tells us that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Hard for us to comprehend. Do you realize that when we get to heaven, it'll be a perpetual day, it'll be perpetual light, there'll never be any darkness? You won't be going to bed. No, it's finished, it's over. Those are things that's hard to understand. God is light. Now, Moses was able to speak to God. Others were able to walk and talk with God. We read about a man by the name of Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam, the Bible says, that he walked and talked with God, but he was not, because God took him. I think there's more involved in that, than we realize. God is light. Oh, what's it been, 100 years? That our scientists and others began to deal with the atom. And they began to say, and when I was a kid in school, they said the atom was the indivisible. You could not divide it. Some of you may be old enough to remember that. But when the atom was divided, they found energy that they didn't know existed. And such energy and radiation could be employed that would literally destroy mankind. That's the little Adam. Who made the Adam? And we are told, those who deal with radioactive material, nuclear, in the nuclear subs or the nuclear ships, that they can only be around it a very short period of time and have to wear special clothing, right? That if radiation, if you are involved in radiation for a short period of time, you can die. It will literally take your life. Take a look at the sun. How far removed the sun is, we get the rays of the sun, the radiation. How close could you come to the sun and not disintegrate? God made the sun. The sun is nothing. Do you realize that if we get to heaven, there will be no night? Why? Because it says God is the light. That's Revelation chapter 22. Okay? Verses 1 through 4. There is no night there. We sing that song, but we don't understand it. Moses, in the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus, wanted to see God. Now, he's in the presence of God. In fact, if you go to the 34th chapter of Exodus, the Bible says that when Moses was in the presence of God, he began to shine. He shined so much that when he came back to the people, he had to put a hood over his face. It would scare them to look upon him. That was the radiation that was, as we would call it. That was being in the presence of God. So Moses said, I know about your presence, Father, but could I see your face? Could I look upon you? No. Now listen to this. No man can look upon me and live. You guys see who we're dealing with? We're dealing with all of the energy that could be brought together in the being of Almighty God. That's why it says that God is light and there is no darkness with Him. No man can see my face, Moses, but I will pass by you and I'll hold my hand over your face. And when I get good way off, I'll remove it, and then you can see my hinder parts. But no man can look upon my face and live. You mean, Dan, that we'll never see God? I didn't say that. I'm saying that as long as we're in human flesh, we cannot see God. We cannot stand it. We would disintegrate. Understand? That's the power of that light that John is talking about. God is light. We would literally disintegrate. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the Apostle Paul says, but there is coming a time when we have borne the image of the earthy, the flesh. But there's coming a time when we will put that off. Then we will bear the image of the heavenly. Angels see God. They're in the presence of God. They're in heaven. You and I are on earth. And by the way, the earth's going to be gone. And all of the universal worlds that people look at, they're going to be gone. This was only a period that God set, and only for a set time. And when He says enough is enough, it's gone. He wraps it up like a scroll. Then, eternity. What's eternity about? Hey, we sing the song where we never grow old. No more. To be in the presence of God is to be in life. He is the light. Him is no darkness. Let me just extend that a little bit and tell you that there is a place of darkness that God has built a barrier so that not even His light can penetrate it. And you know what it's called? Hell. It's called outer darkness. And the reason that hell is because the light of God cannot penetrate it. And it is where the devil and his angels and all the evil of the earth who will not accept Christ, will not accept God's way, will be in eternity. Now, you begin to see why John is such a favorite writer of mine. And I've studied it over and over again. I cannot get a hold of it. If I could tell you what it means, I would, but I can't. Nobody can explain this light that John is talking about. This then is the message that we have received of him, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, here's that word, if we say we have fellowship with God, and yet we walk in darkness or in sin, if we walk in darkness, we lie and tell not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we'll have that fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. Here's you one last verse of Scripture. I know I didn't put all this down. It's just in my head. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. God sitteth in light that is unapproachable. That's what it says. Now wait till we get there. And we're going to glow. In fact, in the book of Malachi, it says we'll shine like stars in glory. Y'all ready for that? That's where we're going. We're going to be in the light. And we'll see him. Revelation 22 and verse 4, and they shall see him face to face. What Moses wanted, you and I get. If we're faithful to God, we get to see him face to face. That's what it says. Revelation 22 verse 4. And his name will be in their foreheads. That's us. We on our way. All right, I want to talk about fellowship. I'm sorry. Took me a while to get there. First thing that we need to realize is the fellowship that God has designed for human beings is a fellowship that we can have with him in his spiritual body, in his family. 1 Timothy 3:15. If we're in God, we're in his family. The family of God, the church of God. Jesus said, universally, I am going to build my church. The church is looked upon and spoken of in the Scriptures in its universal sense and in its local sense. Look, I preached over radio for 25 years. All over the world, had programs every day except Saturday. Had 5 programs through the week, 2 on Sunday. Did you know that people heard me all around the world? We had satellites. We had all of that type of stuff. I got ill, as you know, in 95, and that stopped the programs at that time. They were coming out of San Antonio. And I had a brain aneurysm. I was out of circuit for a year. I got letters from people that I didn't even know. From all over the world where I had never been. They were my brothers and my sisters in the church, telling me how much they loved me and how much they were praying for my recovery. I will never meet those brothers and sisters, but I'm a part of them and they're a part of me. Why? The universal church of Christ. The body of Christ can be Africa, Asia, Europe, the Americas, all of the isles of the sea. Wherever the Word of God is and people obey it, they become a member of the Lord's family, the church. And most of those people, well, 99% I will never know. Not on this earth. But I'll meet them one of these days. They brought bags of letters from the post office. Can you believe that? That's the fellowship that we have in the church. Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 42, those people that obeyed the gospel, there were 3,000 of them to begin with on the day of Pentecost on Sunday morning about 9 to 10 o'clock. When they were told what to do to be saved, and the body of Christ was established on that day, and the Lord added to the church such as were being saved, Acts 2:41 and Acts 2:47. They continued steadfastly, listen, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayer. Y'all see that word fellowship? There's something about it. There's just something about being a part of the family, being a part of the family of God in the church of God. Isn't that marvelous? That's where we are. That's the fellowship we have. It fulfilled what Jesus prayed for in John 17, 20 and 21. Father, I pray not for these alone, but for all of those that shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, Father, as thou art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us. Our fellowship is united. We cannot be divided. We got to all speak the same thing and mind the same thing. That's Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 4. All right. Love is a thread that binds us together. It's the glue that holds us together. I love 1 Corinthians 12, 25 through 26, where he makes a statement, there shall be no schism in the body. Y'all hear that? Schism says division. There is to be no schism in the body, but that all have the same concern one of another in love, so that if one brother suffers, we all suffer. If one brother rejoices, we all rejoice. Y'all see the fellowship we have? I have been brought to knowledge in the last few weeks of things that have had to occur with me and my work with you. I have been made aware, like Paul was, of the brothers at Philippi. Paul loved all the churches where he had worked. He loved the church of the Lord, wherever it might be. But he especially loved the church at Philippi. And why? Because he said, you're in my thoughts all the time. I love you so much, and you love me, and you show me, hey, when you heard some of the things that were going to have to transpire in the congregation with me, I did not put down the number. But over and over and over, you brothers and sisters have come to me for the past 3 weeks and told me how much you love me. Do you want me to tell you something? That's what fellowship is. That's what 1 Corinthians 12, 26 says. That when one suffers, we all suffer. And you showed me just what Paul was talking about the Philippians when he said, brothers, y'all are in my heart always. And I know because of what you've done toward me how much you love me. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know from one day to the next where I'll be, but I'm going to tell you, you will always be in my heart. You have demonstrated to me over the last 3 weeks how much you love me, and I didn't realize it. But you love me, and I love you. That's what the Bible talks about. 1 Corinthians 13, 13, now by the faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. You know what love is, don't you? It demonstrates. It says so. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3, 16. Romans 5 and verse 58, the love of God is demonstrated to us even when we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. By the way, in reference to love, there are warnings that are also given. And you and I need to be cognizant of it. And we need to be aware that our love needs to grow. Our fellowship in love needs to grow. Matthew 24 and verse 12, he's talking about the destruction that was going to come upon Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And our Lord said, be aware of this, that because of all these things that are happening, the love of many will grow cold. Hey, don't let that happen. Don't let anything happen to your love and your fellowship to you brothers and sisters. Whatever may happen, hang in there. That's what he said. But the love of many will grow cold. Wrote unto the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 and verse 4 and said, brethren, I have something against you. You've left your first love. Don't do that, brothers and sisters. You be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Love His brothers and sisters. Then, of course, a vital part of our worship, of our fellowship is our worship. Let us consider one another unto love, provoke unto love and to good works. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhort one another so much the more as you see approaching. Do you look at the empty pews this morning? Do you say, who wasn't here? And if you do, get on that telephone and call them and tell them I miss you. It's a fellowship. The fellowship of worship that we have. We sang hymns a few moments ago. Our brother led us. We sang those hymns. You know what the Bible says? That we are speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. See what I'm talking about? We need to be faithful to our Lord. He that is faithful until death shall receive a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. What is more important, the Super Bowl or the worship this afternoon? By the way, I think Super Bowl starts at about 5 o'clock. But I'm going to be here. I don't care if we met every day. I'd be here. There's something about the worship that knits us together. By the way, in the early church, the Bible tells us that the first apostle to be healed was James. It's a brother of John. That's in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. But the Bible says that old Herod also arrested Simon Peter, and that he intended to put him to death as well. But for the holiday that had, or for the day that had come upon him, he was going to wait a while. Put him in ward. You know what it says? The church got together and began to pray. And the Lord sent an angel from heaven. And he opened the door of the prison and told Simon Peter, come on. You got to go and meet the brothers. They're praying for you. Brothers and sisters. When we sing together, when we pray together, by the way, you know what the contribution is called? It's a means by which we support and aid those who are in need. We give to the preaching of the gospel. We give to the upkeep of things that are necessary. It is a communion. That's what it's called. It's a communion together when we take the Lord's Supper, when we give of our means, when we pray together, when we sing together. Bible says they were together and they had all things common. Oh, by the way, this is one. Acts 4:32. You know what it says? They were of one mind and of one soul. Now, you talk about fellowship. There it is. Then, of course, it's vital that we realize how important it is to work together. I learned that a long time ago when working with an old team of mules. If one old mule wanted to pull back in the harness, and a lot of you don't even know what a harness is. A lot of want to pull back in the harness or kick the trace chains. Do you know what a trace chain is? See, I can still hook up a team of mules. But I found out when I was a boy that if one of them didn't work, then we had a problem. In fact, I had one time fall down in the middle. Well, the other one couldn't drag him down the row. They both had to work together. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus gave the apostles the commission to go out and to tell the people the kingdom of heaven is at hand, how did he send them out? Two by two. Two by two. By the way, and I didn't put it in the notes here, there's a passage in Proverbs 30 and verse 27 that's always gotten to me. It says, the locusts go forth in pairs. Now, we had what we called grasshoppers when I was a kid. Maybe you called them that too. My dad told me one time, years ago, back up in the Dust Bowl days, and I remember seeing the dust hiding out the sun when I was a kid. In the Dust Bowl days, or before that, Dad said that grasshoppers were so bad that they could literally chew the bark off of trees. Oh, come on, Dad. He says, son, I want you to know there were so many of them, they'd black out the sun. Oh, say, when's the last time you read about the plagues that God sent on the land of Egypt? One of those plagues was a plague of locusts. Right? The locusts go together in pairs. Look, you can get more done, you and your wife go together. I know Boyce has talked about it a lot. I used to talk about it as well. Jeannie always visited with me. Kathy always visited with Boyce. There's just something about it. Oh, here's you another verse. Amos 4, verse 4. But how can two walk together except they be agreed? There's that fellowship. Y'all see what I'm trying to get at this morning in the lesson? I hope you do. There's an old song, Bruce, that we sing, Psalm 158, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching As to War. See, the banner of Christ, moving us forward. Brethren, let's resolve we're going to start doing more than we ever have. There's souls out there that need to be won for Christ. Let's work together to the glory of Almighty God. And we can do it because God is with us. And God will give the increase. If you're subject this morning to the invitation of Christ, all things are ready. You need to come to the feast. Do so now. I know that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You've heard, you've read your scripture. If you believe on him, why don't you obey him? John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes it not will be condemned. It's your choice. Repent of your sins. Be truly sorrowful for the life that you... Father, I'm sorry. Come to Christ. Live no longer in them. Acknowledge that he is the Savior and the only Savior, and that you believe in him with all your heart. Then be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. Your sins will be washed away. That's Acts 22, 16. You'll be raised to walk a new life, and the Lord will add you to this fellowship that I was talking about. Acts 2, verse 41. If you're subject this morning in any manner, you like place membership with us, you can do that. If you've drifted away, you want to come home, we'll pray with you and follow you to the throne of God. Will you come while together we stand and sing?